Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, we are in week two of an 8-part series on a portrait of God that I see is how He is our gift giver. We're looking at all the spiritual gifts. There are 20 of them listed in Scripture in 3 categories and in 3 passages. And we're just starting our journey, and I can't wait to continue it today. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be over in Hebrews chapter 10 as we are going through the personal spiritual gifts. The next type will be the positional spiritual gifts, and then we'll look at the situational spiritual gifts as the weeks roll by. So, as you're making your way over to Hebrews chapter 10, just a quick reminder that all of these messages that I've done before and will do in the future are archived on my website at markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God, because on that landing page you'll see options for 3-minute videos on portraits of God, articles I have written for local publications. You'll see some printed outlines and infographics on all kinds of things. That's another option. And then one is a broadcast box, which you click on, and then you click next on portraits of God, and then you'll have the 27-minute radio broadcasts archived right there at markpg.org. Well, as is our habit, and is our custom, and is our joy, let's go before the Lord to ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, it is a joy to be able to come and sit at Your feet. And Lord, we get to hear Your heart. And as You're showing us how You are so generous and lavish in the way You have given us gifts, personal spiritual gifts, for us to be wired in our hearts to do the things that You call us to do in our uniqueness. And then we'll talk about those positional gifts and the situational gifts later. Lord, You are just so, so gracious. So thank You for being our gift giver. And we certainly want to be good stewards of these gifts. So thank You, Lord, for the privilege of taking a journey through Your Scriptures together. Oh, we pray that You'll speak to us so that our hearts can be touched, our lives transformed as we serve You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love You that way as well. So thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, if you're a note taker, we are working through 20 spiritual gifts that are listed in Scripture, 3 categories, 3 passages. We're in Romans 12 for this first section on the personal spiritual gifts. And by way of quick reminder, this passage begins in verse 3 saying, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think is to have sound judgment." And by the way, I love how this opens, because even though we are uniquely gifted and they're all very different, don't take your gifts to the place where you take credit for them and you think that you are better than anyone else. Don't think more highly than you ought to. And yet, be very grateful for how God has wired you in heart with a personal spiritual gift. And we're saying 2 out of the 7 listed here, we tend to be given from the outset, but then as we become more Christ-like, we tend to take on more of the gifts because He had every gift, right? Well, then verse 4 here in Romans chapter 12 says, "For just as we have members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." And verse 6, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us." By the way, all of these gifts, all 3 categories, They're given by His grace. We don't deserve them. They're gifts from above. Hence, He is our grace gift giver, right? GGG. I love that. Well, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And now we get the list of seven. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Now, verse 7. If service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads, or administrations, according to some translations, with all diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And last time we covered prophecy and teaching, and we're using animal metaphors that I've actually used for many, many years now when I teach these personal spiritual gifts. In fact, I've had a chance to do it all around the world in different cultures, and people just love the animal metaphors. It really helps communicate what these gifts are like and the people who are gifted with these primary gifts, what they're like. So, quick review. Prophecy, eagle, is a great metaphor. Why? Because prophecy is declaring the black and white heart truths of God. These are people that speak very powerfully and decisively. You're in or you're out, you're hot or you're cold, you're on or you're off. These are the born leaders. These are the visionaries. And we need prophets like this. We need eagles. Think about eagles and why it's a great metaphor. Eagles look like they're always scowling, right? And then they have that pointed beak and the big talons, and it's a big bird. It's a predatory bird. Man, I've seen videos of them taking down a deer on the run. It's just an amazing thing. Well, this gift can be very intimidating to others, and people who have this gift and are declaring the black and white heart truths of God are very decisive and opinionated and outspoken, can be very intimidating. And when they speak on an intensity scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being very soft, 10 being very loud, so to speak, well, eagles screech. And on a scale of 1 to 10, it always sounds like these folks are speaking with 8s, 9s, and 10s. So we have to be careful. Think John the Baptist, a bold prophet of God. And God has need for these prophets. Now, there's a small minority of them among us, less than 10%. Most of us are going to have the other gifts, introverted gifts. These are the extroverted gifts. But let me just kind of tell you a story. But I'm going to go ahead and just tell you an additional story just to nail this home, and then we'll review teaching again. Then we'll go on to exhortation and administration today. When I was younger in University of Texas at Austin, many years ago, I was active in Campus Crusade for Christ and also in our local church. I was in leadership there in our college division and all. So we were all going through this series on the spiritual gifts back then. And man, I just sensed I had the gift of prophecy. And man, I thought about John the Baptist, and I just thought, that's me, the prophet of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, in my youth, in my naivety, in my arrogance, in my swagger, I was blowing people away with what I thought was the black and white heart truths of God about how they were living their lives, or the attitude of their hearts, or sin in the camp, and that type of a stuff. And man, I was viewing myself as the group's John the Baptist. And I didn't realize how much I was hurting people. Because you see, I didn't realize how God intended this particular gift to operate. I'm going to shift metaphors to kind of help us see that. So in that time, I was going through a quiet time there. I was a sophomore in college there at University of Texas, and in that Campus Crusade group, now called Crew, by the way. And I was reading through 1 Timothy 2, and I got to the end of that chapter, verses 24 and following, and I couldn't read through this portion fast enough to get to chapter 3. Because here's what it said, the servant of the Lord. Now see, servants, if you're a servant, then there's no way you're supposed to have a swagger, right? So I knew, I'm in trouble, I think, here. The servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those that are in opposition, that God may grant repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, that they might come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, being held captive by him to do his will. Well, trying to race through that, I couldn't make it through chapter 3 because the Spirit of the Lord within me said, not so fast, partner. Back up. This is going to be your life verse. What? I don't want it to be my life verse. I like being John the Baptist and bold and eagle-ish. Yeah, but you're misunderstanding. It's not a guy with a shotgun that you've sawed off, blowing people away and splattering blood everywhere like you've been doing, son. It's a surgeon with a scalpel. Do they cut flesh and draw blood? Yes, but it's by design. And they're trained. And they know where to cut, how to cut. And it's all for healing. That's the point of the prophet. You declare these things, and it does look harsh and hard sometimes, but it's also the things that people need to hear if they want to be healed, just like heart surgery. You need to be sometimes cut open. Blood has to be spilled to have that heart healed. That helps those of us that have that hardwiring of eagle prophecy to be careful how we wield it, not like a sawed-off shotgun, but like a surgeon with a scalpel. Having said that, let's move on to teaching. We talked about that and started talking about that last time. Teaching is explaining the comprehensive biblical insights of God. Now, a prophet will take a basic text and take the basic truth, the heart truth of God, and just pound it, you know? And it frustrates those that are teachers sitting in the congregation or listening to it on a podcast because they're going, wait, there's a lot more to say about this. There's other passages that qualify this and balance this and all this other stuff. Because their heart is to explain the comprehensive biblical insights of God, not just this one text and amplify it. Well, the reverse is true when a prophet is listening to a teacher. Man, there's too many scriptures. You're all over the map. You're talking about too much. We cannot possibly follow it. Get to the core truth and hit it hard. Well, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So those with the gift of teaching, though, can be intimidating because they're, and I give the metaphor of a tiger. Tiger loves the meat of the word, not just the milks, not just the basics, but the comprehensive meat of the word. They're the ones with the outlines and the infographics. They're the ones that have all of these ins and outs and balances and caveats and all the things that the Lord has given us when you look at the scripture and the message that it contains as a whole. We need those with a gift of teaching, but they can intimidate others because they are so knowledgeable and they don't even realize how in their waxing eloquent on these comprehensive insights and diagramming it, they can actually shut down others who might have questions or might want to add to the conversation because it sounds like this teacher's got it all together, has thought it all through, and what in the world can I add to this conversation? Now, my friends, there are multiple layers to scriptures. There are caveats or balances to the principles of scripture. We do need to read the scripture and interpret it with multiple layers and dimensions and all. So those with the gift of teaching, they're lifelong learners. They think in multi-layers and nuances and all, unlike the prophet, but that can be intimidating to most of the rest who don't think in terms of that many layers, that many nuances, and that many caveats. So let me just kind of give you an example in real life. In my life, I have a lot of teaching in my gift set that God has given me, and I do have on my website, if you go to markpg.org, on those printed guides, all kinds of infographics and all kinds of topics and outlines and things just to kind of get you into the ballpark in conversation with the Lord and in your own Bible study to kind of, let him take you where he wants to take you. But I had a hard lesson that I learned. This is about a couple of three decades ago when I was first getting involved in international ministry. And I was rubbing shoulders with people who had been doing it for years, and here I was, the new guy. And I was eager to kind of, you know, want to say, well, I've got some game and all. So we were at one of the very first gatherings of the leadership team of about 30 of us that would be launching a movement called the 414 movement, you know, just about children. More people come to Christ between ages 4 and 14 than at any other age. And so the Lord had drawn together people from all over the world to launch annual gatherings of those who have a heart to see that children are the whitest field under harvest and that we need to give them due attention. And so to get started, the leader of our group, just a brilliant man who'd been in missions for many, many years, the one who coined the 1040 window language and so on, and strategy, all that. I had the privilege of serving alongside and just learning, and I knew I was new, and I had a lot to learn. So we're sitting in this three-day conference in New York City preparing for a big conference 3 months later there in New York City. And as I was listening to everything that people were bringing to the table to want to include as we kind of move forward and all, I was taking notes, and I have a way of being able to take complex things and get them on paper and get them sequenced and organized and all. So after the first couple of days, I mean, I had my own notes down, and I just kind of had my laptop and I created an infographic about it and an outline and stuff. And I went to him and I said, Brother Luis, I said, listen, I'm listening to all this. There's so much here, but look, I've got it down to this. Could you look at this tonight and let me know in the morning what you think of it? Sure, I'd be happy to. Yes, yes. So the next morning when we got back together, he pulled me aside. He said, listen, I looked at your two-page summary and infographic and all this. Now listen to me very carefully. I can tell you have a great capacity and you are spot on. This is where I believe the Lord wants us to go. Do me a favor. Hold this back for about 5 years. What? He was serious. He said, this is where we need to go as a team. They need to figure this out along the way so they can have a stake in it. They can be investors and part of the creation of it. If we give this right off the bat, and again, you're very gifted, I can see that, they will not feel needed. So please hold this back for about 5 years. My friend, just because you can think comprehensively and can outline it doesn't mean you have to present it all at once. You have to allow time for people to get it piece by piece and be part of the discovery process as you grow together. If my summary and infographic had been passed out that day, it would have made the rest of the meeting superfluous because, oh, we already got the plan. It's already been done out. This guy did it. Well, then you just run with it. And then I'd be alone, right, with a few other handful of guys. But he was so wise in understanding how these things work in the Lord. He had to teach me, the new guy at the international level, you have to hold this back for about 5 years. So, if you have the gift of prophecy and an eagle, you have the gift of teaching, you're a tiger, be careful. You may unintentionally overwhelm people and stifle their creativity and their growth unintentionally. Well, there's a third spiritual gift we've given here in the passage in Romans chapter 12, and it's the gift of exhortation. It's motivating the body of Christ to apply God's truths. These are the people that are the life of the party. They're the ones that light up a room when they walk in. They are the encouragers. They can make you feel like $1 million. They never met a stranger. They got so many friends. May not really deep, but they do have a lot of friends because they love interacting with people and to motivate them and inspire them to apply God's truth, motivating the body of Christ to apply God's truth, not just learn it comprehensively like the teacher will help you discover, and not just have heart convictions about it like the prophet will lead you to, but to do the stuff that you're learning, to do the stuff that you're getting convicted about. They have a way of using their words, their tongues, to really lighten up a room, cast vision, and get people out there. We can do this. It's going to be great. We're going to have some fun. Let's go. And so a great metaphor for this, instead of an eagle or a tiger, both of them can be intimidating. I have a dolphin here. The dolphin, while the eagle looks like he or she is always frowning, the dolphin looks like he or she is always smiling. And they're splashing about, having a great time all the time. That's why we say they're the life of the party. They're the fizz and the drink. They're the hot fudge on the hot fudge sundae and all. And never met a person that wasn't going to be a friend. And you may have kids like that, and they're not going to be cleaning up their room and keeping it all nice and straight and orderly, stuff like that. Why? We're going to be sleeping in the same bed tomorrow. Why make it up now? We got things to do. Let's go play. You might think in terms of Tigger from Winnie the Pooh, life of the party there, but kind of making a mess in Rabbit's garden, right? I know I just switched metaphors, so let's go back to dolphin. Those with this gift then help encourage. And so let me give you a passage out of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, if you're taking notes, where the Bible says this: let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. I love that. I know most of the time it's used by, you better go to church because that's what the Bible says, but this is something far deeper than that. It's gathering together as fellow believers, as part of the family of God, to spur one another or stimulate one another to love each other and to good deeds. And we can do this, and we're going to do this together. And let's not be separated. Don't let the enemy isolate and then dominate us. No, we want to be together. And some folks just have that ability to make you feel like a million bucks and that you can do this. So let me give you some examples. Now, the scripture over in Proverbs says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Is that a powerful thing? And now the negative side, death can be in the tongue. I call that tornado tongue. That's when you can be very critical and snap at people and demean them. And boy, what God's been trying to build up, your tornado tongue tore down in a matter of seconds. Don't let your tongue do that. Instead, let your tongue speak life. What does that look like? Well, here's a couple of examples. Over the years, you know, we all know, things happen, you know, with the utility company or in church or something, and you need some help and you're frustrated. But here's the thing. I've learned that whenever I'm making those tech calls or, you know, the billing department calls or need some help with something, I always find out who, you know, the person is. Hi, my name is so-and-so. And I say, oh, hi, Alyssa. There was a lady to name I needed to deal with on a situation that came up. And I said, oh, Alyssa, oh, listen. I need a hero today. Are you in the mood to be my hero? That word hero brings life to somebody who's been answering a phone all day, mostly with complaints. I'm calling to say, I just need a hero. I have a need. Can you help me? Can you be a mate? Well, I can try. They just almost perk up instantly because they're so shocked at somebody speaking life into them. Like a dolphin with a smile, with the inflection of the voice and the tone that you're speaking to them. Or at the airport, you know, when you have a canceled flight, you can be the one talking to the flight attendants, or excuse me, the staff, you know, at the counters, and just bring life. Oh, I need a hero today. I'm trying to get back home. Could you be my hero? Instead of, I can't believe what you people are doing, and can't you get your act together? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Be an exhorter, a motivator, an encourager, my friend. Be a dolphin. Wow. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. So, one day, years ago, we were coming back from Jamaica on a youth mission trip. We had a bus that we were coming from Miami back to Fort Myers after flying in from Jamaica. That bus broke down on the way back in the middle of nowhere, just near an Indian reservation, actually, at one of the, it's called Alligator Alley, I-75. We were able to pull off there, and the bus driver said, man, we're going to have to get another bus. What? And this is getting, you know, in the evening time, and we're due back in Fort Myers. So he called for another bus, and I said, okay, yes, these things happen, everybody. Look, there's snacks things. Let's go have some snacks. Let's just relax. They're sending another bus. The other bus came after about an hour. We took everything off bus number one, put it on bus number two. We got back in. What an experience we've had. Now it's dark. We're heading back home finally. And 10 minutes down the road, guess what? Two blowouts. We go over the side of the road. I walk out there with the bus driver. People are going, what in the world? We go out there. He says, man, there's no way for us to fix this. We're going to have to get another bus. A third bus? I said, he said, yeah, man, I am so sorry. And at that moment, I'm just going, I cannot believe this. But then the Lord reminded me, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Son, what are you going to say when you go back in the bus? You know they're discouraged, just like you are, but what can you say? Oh, my goodness. I went back in there, and the Lord put this on my heart. I said, okay, I know you want to know what's happened. I got great news. We're going to get a three for one price on this bus. Yeah, what? Yeah, we had a blowout, and they're going to have to get another bus. But you know what? Get the snacks out. Get the guitars. We're going to have a roadside midnight praise time. Great time waiting for the other bus. It's going to be great. We'll have a story to tell for the rest of our lives. And my friends, that was about 30 years ago, and I'm still telling that story. You can be used of God to motivate the body of Christ, to apply God's truths, to trust Him in all things, to have joy in all things, even in the tribulations. You can do that. Well, I know we're not going to have time to get to the next one, administration, but these first three are the extroverted, personal, spiritual gifts. And those among you that have that, bless you. And those around you that have it, bless them. They're different, very different. They can be overwhelming with their joy, or with their knowledge, or with their speech patterns, eagles, tigers, and dolphins, but oh, what a blessing from God. Well, Lord, thank you for how you gift us in so many ways. May we appreciate it in ourselves and each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, our gift giver.